Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
I'm just blessed to be able to share with you another Sunday. Tell your neighbor he's good. He really is. This is Christians Community Center. It's a word ministry. It's not about denomination, tradition, religion. It's about what the word says. And so that's where we get our text from, the word. So if you need a Bible, please raise your hand and we'll provide you one. You'll hear a couple of words today, like you've heard in worship. You've heard Yeshua. Well, that is the true Hebrew name of our Savior. That was the name given to him by Yahweh. Yeshua means he will save. Hallelujah. And we've studied, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's up to us to study this word. We just don't want a surface knowledge of the word. We want to know the word for real. How many of you want to know the word for real? What the word says. Hallelujah. Well, you got to study. And so we studied and we found that's his name. So you'll hear that. Also, you will hear the name Yahweh, which comes from the Tetragrammaton, YHVH, Yod Hey Vav Hey. That is the name of God, which, wait, are you ready for this? It means I will be what I will be. I will be where I will be. I will be when I will be. I will be what I will be. Now, if that don't tell you how powerful he is, that don't leave nothing out. He will be. Tell your neighbor, he will be whatever. Hallelujah. We just sung the song. My God is awesome. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. He's all that stuff. So when you, there's a lot of gods out there. Little g's. But when we're talking about our God, we know his name, and his name states how awesome he is. Tell your neighbor, he's awesome. So that's why we use these terms. It's important that not only do we know truth, but that we walk in truth. Amen. And so that's what we do. So we have been studying on this subject, hunger for holiness. You gotta be hungry for it. Hunger means a crave, to eagerly desire. So what are we craving? What are we eagerly desiring? We're desiring holiness. Because how will the world know that we're different? Well, we gotta be holy. What does holiness mean? Holy means it's a set apart lifestyle. Mean that people will be able to look at us and they'll see the God kind of lifestyle, the Yahweh kind of lifestyle, right? And it should be excellent. It should be good. And people will be drawn to that by seeing the life that you lead. So that's important for us to study holiness. The Bible says, he says, be ye holy as I am holy. So if he says that we can do it, we can do it. So listen, turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I love the study that we're on because this is something that is important for how we live. I mean, if holiness is a lifestyle, we should be able to know what is holy and what's not holy.
What is set apart? What is not set apart? What is acceptable? What is unacceptable? Because it's a lifestyle, so it's going to be important for us to know that so that we can actually move forward successfully. And so in Galatians, the fifth chapter, and at the 16th verse, this is where we're getting our roots from. And if you got it, say, I got it. Okay, so it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust. You know what? This is really what it is all wrapped up. If we would just walk in the Spirit. But you got to have the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, then you ain't walking. Now you're walking, but you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in what? Something else. But the Bible tells us, if we're not walking in the Spirit, what are we walking in? Well, it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so if there's lust of the flesh, that means that if I'm not walking in the Spirit, then more than likely, I'm walking in my mind, I'm living in my desires and the things that I want to do, therefore I am walking in the flesh. And we have not been commanded to walk in the flesh. We've been commanded to what? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. So 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So there's a war going on. Tell your neighbor, there's a war going on. There's a struggle going on between the flesh and the Spirit. Because the Spirit is trying to tell you the right stuff to do, and the flesh is like bucking up against that. Like, I don't want to do that. Haven't you had a fight with yourself sometime? You know, you've been like, oh, I want to, you know, I think I should, I believe I should do this. And you're like, oh, you need to do this. You need to do that. You should have busted him upside his head. Well, you know. But what does the Spirit say? Love them. Forgive them. Look beyond their faults. But what does the flesh say? I want to get one in. I want to say something, right? So there's a battle going on. So understanding that there is that struggle going on, we should want to walk more and more in the Spirit. Okay, so they're contrary to one another. So that you cannot do the things that ye would. And the New Testament says, so that you cannot do the things that ye wish. Because our flesh want to do stuff. But we want our Spirit to take over, the Holy Spirit to take over. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So this is what we've been studying for the last week, is that, well, if we are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what does it mean to be under the law? These are the things that we've been talking about. So you need to get this today. And then it goes on, 19th, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, what else? Drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So we've been talking about the things that are obvious, or as the word says, they're manifest. They're obvious what these sins are. But we needed to be able to color those gray areas, and that is dealt with such like. What does that mean? Things that are what? Like these 17 things that we just read, right? Now, those 17 things are obvious, but such like, sometimes they're not that obvious. So it's important for us to point them out. All right. So the verse says what? The end of the 21st. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. Who wants to inherit the kingdom? It's not just about going to heaven, people. It's about living in victory down here before we go there. We do have that hope of glory that we want to go there, right? But there's some stuff that he wants to give us down here. Who wants his blessings? Who wants his blessings? Okay. But it's not about just finances, people. It's balanced prosperity, right? It's not just about cars and the house and all that. That's twisted prosperity. We ain't talking about that. Don't get it twisted. It's balanced. Because you can have all that money, but you might not have no peace of mind, Lord. Who wants peace of mind? I want peace of mind. Because people out there losing their minds. So I want peace of mind. So that's part of our prosperity, right? What else is a part of prosperity? Having peace in your house. Oh, goodness. Who wants peace in the house? Come, see, because sometimes we live in places that have a whole bunch of confusion going on. And that's not what he promised. He promised abundant life. Abundant life is I can go home and I can be at peace. I can kick my heels up. The air is good. The people are peaceful. Ain't nobody trying to fight with me. Right? Ain't nobody trying to beat me up. If you're living in a house where 911 is called, you ain't living the abundant life. Right? But he promised us that. So that's all a part of prosperity. Well, that's a part of our inheritance. So if you're living in these 17 things and such like, you will not, what? Inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we want. And so the 18th verse says, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we have to go, what does that mean to be under the law? But under, so what are we? We're not under the law, we're under grace. What does it mean to be under grace? Well, it means that Yeshua died for your sins, took up all of that, your sins and all of that. He paid the price for you that you would be able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. His blood was shed for you. Tell yourself, he did it for me. He did it for me so that I could have the victory. That's what we did it for, right? So, listen. If we're under grace and not under the law, does that mean that we can do whatever we want to do? And he still loves us and it's all good? God forbid. No, it's not what that means. Right? People think that you can just sin and not be accountable. That's not what he's talking about. But then some people go to the other extreme. Like, you gotta do everything that the law says. Everything in Leviticus, you have to do it. You gotta observe the Sabbath. You have to observe the feast. You have to observe the moons. So we go from one extreme to the next. Well, what's a believer to do? That's what we find out. The believer is to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't be tripping, right? And so, this is what we're talking about. So, go to Leviticus, the 18th chapter. So we have to show you the law to know what we're talking about. It's important for believers to know what they're talking about. Because you got some people out there that will eat you up and spit you out alive if you don't know your word. There's people that come knock on your door on Saturdays. Hello? Yes. Are you prepared for Jehovah's return? Because if you not, and what do you say? Well, if you were educated in the word and you were rightly dividing the word of truth, you say, Jehovah? Well, last I check, there's no J in the Hebrew language. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? And you start rightly dividing that word of truth. Before you know it, they'll say, okay, see you later. We're going to move on next door. They don't want to mess with that. I remember back in the day when they used to do that, they used to come to the door, and I was just a kid, and Apostle, you know, he would answer to the door, you know. And they'd be like, this is when we were using the name Jesus, right? And so they would come, did you know his name was Jehovah? He says, absolutely, yes. If you study it, it is one of the names. And so they would just be like, okay, see ya. Why? Because people that weren't rightly dividing the word of truth were like, his name ain't Jehovah, his name is Jesus. right? They did not study to show themselves what? Tell your neighbor, you got to be approved. So we got to study this, okay? So this is, reason I'm bringing this up is that if Yeshua fulfilled the law when he came, what does that mean? So we got to actually look at the law. So we looked in Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and we saw the, if you were here last week, we saw all those scriptures that had to break it down. Hey, don't uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. Don't uncover the nakedness of your uncle's wife. Don't cover the unnakedness of your father's wife. Well, why do you got to keep on doing that? Because people was getting wicked and uncovering all nakedness. So you have to make it clear, right? So does that mean that Yeshua fulfilled the law that we don't do the law? Well, the law was broken up into three components: moral law, civil dietary law, and ceremonial law. So we need to understand what those are. But I can say this for a certainty. Go to Leviticus, the 20th chapter. I can say this for a certainty. Now that Yeshua fulfilled the law, we got to go to the New Testament to find out, well, what does he say about the dietary? What does he say about the ceremonial? What does he say about the moral? Right? And so we're going to do a little backtracking so I can show you. Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Leviticus 20, the 7th verse. And we're going to toggle between the old and new to find out where are we supposed to be. So, Leviticus 20 says what? 7th verse says, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy for what? I am holy. Yahweh, thy Elohim. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Well, my goodness. So if you're cursing your father and your mother, you shall surely be put to death. Well, if we should be doing that, there'll be some slain folks up in here. Because there's been some cursing going on. What about the 10th? And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be what? Put to death. But we see that sin is still sin and it's still wrong. But what is the difference between being in the law and under grace? Well, it's still wrong to do sin. But the law says we should put him to death. But let's see what grace says. Go to Yohanan, the 8th chapter. John. Yohanan is the Hebrew name for John. So go to John, the 8th chapter. So we got to get this. We're right. Tell yourself, I'm rightly dividing the word of truth now. That's what we got to do. Okay, so John 8, 1. You got it? 8th chapter. The first verse. If you got it, say, I got it. If you need it, say, I need it. All right. All right. So here we go. Yeshua went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. So this lady was in the very act. She was caught red-handed. Well, that's what I was wondering. She was caught red-handed, but where to do that? She wasn't by herself. But that's how flawed the law is, because it deals with people. We'll see this. And it says, they sat her in the midst. And 5th verse, now Moshe and the law commanded us that which should be stoned. So it's saying in the law, it says we should stone her.
But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Yeshua stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, cast, let him cast the first stone at her. Well, what was he saying? He was saying, I agree with the law says that it should be done, but grace. He who is without sin, let him what? Cast the first stone at her. And they said unto him, what's the next verse says? And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So after this, after he said that, he stooped on the ground and wrote on the ground. And then this is what he heard. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And before you knew it, Yeshua was left alone, and the woman standing. When you sin, when you really get back, get down to the nitty gritty, it's between you and Yahweh. He's made a way for you to get it right. One-on-one. Does it mean that we agree with it? Heavens no. We're not going to agree with sin, but a lot of us, we want to cast stones, but we got some shady stuff going on. I'm just saying. They say that if you live in a glass house, you shouldn't be throwing no stones. And the word puts it very well. It says, all have what? Sin. And fallen short of the glory. So now it's just her and Yeshua. And this is what he said. He saw no one but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are thou thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Yeshua said unto him, neither do I condemn thee. But go and what? Sin no more. So he's not agreeing with the sin. He's just saying, now we're doing a thing called grace. And I'm going to give you the grace and allow you to get yourself right. Hallelujah. Get it right. I would tell you to tell your neighbor to get it right, but you got some stuff to get right, so tell yourself, get it right. Get it right. Right. Don't be pointing no finger at your neighbor today, because you got to get it right. All right. And so, what does it say? Sin no more. So I love seeing that. So that gives us a look into how he feels about sin. So he's not agreeing with sin, but now we're under grace. Because the law said, stone him! Stone her! But grace said, not so. Get it right. I love you. I'm going to give you another chance. You better thank him for another chance. Because all of you are recipients. Because if we were under the law, I don't know if we'd have very many people sitting off up in here. So, well, what does he say about ceremonial and dietary then? Well, let's go to Leviticus 19 chapter. Leviticus 19. And for you Hebrew scholars, I got a question for you. What is the Hebrew name for Leviticus? The what? Say it again. Levi. You ain't scholaring. The apostle said it is what? Levi. Levi. Say, tell your neighbor, Levi. All right. Leviticus or Levi, the 19th chapter. You got it? Say, I got it. Okay. So the 27th verse says, now if we go to the law for our answers, then we're going to get some other stuff.
That so we can't be cherry picking what we say, oh, is good and what is not. That's why we got to know the word. So Leviticus 27th verse says what? You shall not round the corners, meaning shave your heads, neither shalt you mar the corners of thy beard. Well, some of us would be in trouble, right? Because we got different styles and shapes going on. Some of us got shaved heads. And even it's not just the brothers that, you know, are shaving. Sisters got this going on too. Not the beard, I would hope not. What else does it say? You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks. Wait, print any marks upon you? Wait, are we printing marks? Oh, what are we printing? What do we call that? Oh, say that, tattoos. Oh, okay. I think we touched on that. And people want to find out, well, what you think about tattoos, Pastor Tom? Well, what I would do is this first. I would not take you to Leviticus to argue with you. Because if I say, see right there, it says in Leviticus, don't make no cuttings in your flesh, no marks upon you, so you in sin if you get a tattoo. Well, what about the other stuff? So the litmus test is that if we're under grace, I need to go and find out kind of what the word says in the New Testament. I don't need to take you here. It's a, you know, but I'll defend this in a moment. But so you have a believer that says, yo, Pastor Tom, I was thinking about getting a tattoo. And it says, bless coming in across my chest. And then bless going out. What you think about that? Okay, well. Yeah, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Because you feel like you want to glorify him, that you putting it on your chest and on your back. First of all, what kind of situation will you be in that people will see your chest? What kind of half-naked situation you got going on? Yeah, I'm not giving my opinion. I'm just, he asked a question. So he asked what I think. So I'm going to take it here, 1 Corinthians 10. Oh, no. Actually, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 6. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay. 18th verse. Okay, you got it? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. For he that committed fornication sinned against his body, own body. This is how it starts out, but this is not what I'm saying to him. But I'm trying to prove a point. What? Say what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Yahweh, and you are not your own? So first thing I would say, first off, I would say, bro, you want to get a tattoo, right? You say you was thinking about getting a tattoo. Well, if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, maybe you should check with the owner first.
What do you mean the owner?
The owner of your body.
I own my body.
Well, if you're born again according to the New Testament, that you've received Yeshua as your Savior, you were baptized filled with His Spirit, it says that you are not your own. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's read on. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. So therefore, I need to check with the owner before I start making adjustments, before I start putting billboards, before I start writing and cutting. Well, how do I deal with it? Well, you told me you thinking about getting a tattoo. Did you pray about that? Did you pray and find out if the owner wants you to do that? Well, I can do what I'm on. It's my body.
So what you saying, Pastor Tom? What you saying is a sin? You know, because you know how they buck up as if it's me.
I'm like, dude, this is the word. This is the word.
You know, just saying this is a sin? You know, it's a sin to get a tattoo?
Brother or sister, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Okay. We did this last week, but I need to show you the ebb and flow, how we go back and test it. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 23rd verse says what? 1 Corinthians 10:23 says what? All things are lawful for me. That means you can do some of this. You can do whatever you want to do, right? But all things are not expedient, and expedient means helpful. All things are lawful. I can do what I want to do with my body, but all things are not helpful. So is it really helping me to put a tattoo on? I'm just saying. All things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. So you got to think about this. So what you saying, Pastor Tom, I still don't understand. You're not your own. You want to get a tattoo, or you want to get 3 or 4 piercings in your ear, you want to pierce your belly button, you want to pierce your tongue, which I really don't understand what that does. And it's even worse, you say, hey, I want to pierce my nipples. Really? Ouch. But that's what I'm saying. Your body is not your own. So tell yourself, I guess I need to check with the owner. Tell yourself, I need to check with the owner. And the owner is not me. The owner is Yahweh, who bought me with a price when His Son died on Calvary for all of my sins, that I might be able to escape sin and death and be able to be reconciled back to my Father. So the least I can do is honor His word. Does anybody just want to honor His word? So you ask me, now wait, but somebody mad at me right now because somebody already got one. You good. You under the blood, baby. It's all good. But if you decide to get a new one, check with the owner. You didn't do that last time. So we're going to do it different than this time, right? So now, what about some of this other stuff? Let's go to Leviticus, the 11th chapter. Now, this is what I want to explain. In defense of Levitical, some of those things that were going on, you had some of those Canaanite gods, people were serving, pagan gods. So they went to the extreme. They made themselves look a certain way. So when it talks about the shaving and stuff, I would imagine, I don't know exactly what they look like, but maybe they had mohawks, I don't know. And maybe they had all kinds of designs in their head. Really, I'm just saying, I don't know. But I know that they fashioned themselves after those gods. And so Yahweh was saying, listen, there's a lot of paganism out here. There's a lot of people that are associating and looking a certain way because of the gods that they serve. And I just want my people to be able to see that they're different than those pagan people. So if I want my people to look a certain way so that they're not confused to be one of these other ones. Because that's what was going on in that day. You know, the devil, he is a wicked genius. I was telling him, he's wicked. But he's a genius because he desensitizes us. So much so that we take tattoos, oh, it's just popular culture. It's just a fad. So you got people that wasn't even thinking about trying to get a tattoo. You got grandmas trying to get tattoos. Well, grandma, you wasn't even thinking about. But just because it's looked upon as some type of fashion statement now, it's like, oh, it's no big deal. Just go get it and you'll look like everybody else. And you'll fit in. And you'll be cool. And people will like say, hey, that looks nice. But you failing to realize that you going and falling for the okie doke, you looking just like everybody else. Oh my God, how will people be able to know that you're set apart? How will they know? They might not even get a chance to talk to you. But maybe they'll look upon your skin, or maybe they'll even see some of the clothes you're wearing. You gotta be careful. You know? Because listen, there's this saying, and I've heard it before. Sometimes it's important for us to understand what people are saying. If this term offends you, I'm sorry. But they say it in the world. Hey, we're going to turn up. Okay, it's okay for you to know it because then you understand what people are saying. But should you be turning up? No. There's a term called twerk. And you got people out there that, you know, twerking. So what you going to do with the twerk? You know it, okay? You got a knowledge of it, because that's how Apostle Shaul was. He had a knowledge of things. He was able he knew the poetry. He knew what people are talking about, just so he would be able to understand what they were saying, but give them maybe something else to think about. So just because you know the term twerking don't mean that you need to be twerking. But I'm twerking for Jesus. He don't need you to twerk for him. So some stuff we just should not be adopting. Why? Because if you twerking for, I'll say Jesus, because I'm not going to associate the true name with twerking. But you say, you got believers say, yeah, we twerking for Jesus. Okay, what kind of glory is he getting out of your twerk? And what does that mean? Can't we just praise him? Can't we just praise him and not twerk for him? So what am I saying? I'm just saying in defense of Levitical law, he was just simply trying to say, those are those people, and you are my people, and I want you to be different. That's it. All right. I done messed with somebody too long. I'm going to leave you alone. Leviticus 11 chapter. Well, what about this other stuff? All right, let's find out. And Yahweh spake. You got it? 11:1.
And Yahweh spake unto Moshe and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of that chew the cud, or if they divide the hoof as the camel, but because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean to you. My God. This can be a little confusing. So let's go back. You shall not eat whatsoever parteth the hoof. So it was a type of foot. And if it was parted and it's cloven and cheweth the cud means an animal that eats his food, partially digests it, then brings it back into his mouth, like vomit it up, regurgitate it up to chew it again. That's called chewing the cud. And some of the cud chewers you shouldn't eat. You weren't supposed to eat. Well, who does that? Well, cows do that. They chew that, swallow that, regurgitate that, and chew it again. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud but divided not the hoof, he is unclean. Well, what is a coney? A coney is a rabbit. Some of y'all have eaten rabbit. You know you did. I need no rabbit. I got some country folks in here. Some Arkansas and from Mississippi. And y'all ate all kinds of stuff. You ate rabbit. You ate possums. Who ate possum? Oh my God, my possum eater's in the house. Well, according to this, y'all is sin. And let's go down here. Let's skip down. The ninth verse. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the water, in the seas and in the rivers, then you shall eat them. 10th verse. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. Whoa. So what seafood is an abomination? Shrimp is abomination. I got some shrimp eaters in the house because I see you. Crab eaters, it's an abomination. Hey, any lobster eaters in the house? You Red Lobster going folks. He said right here in the law, it is an abomination. So, I had a sister say, but Old Testament, thank you. Basically, she's saying, I got my lobster. Okay, but let's deal with this, right? He said an abomination. Then he goes on to say about the kind of birds. Well, for a believer, that could be kind of what? Confusing. So let's look at grace. Because some of y'all are trying to go to Red Lobster after you leave here. So let's find out what grace has to say. Go to Acts, the 11th chapter. Because now we're looking at the law, but we're looking at the law with some different glasses on. We're looking at the law in love glasses, grace glasses. Right? We're still looking at it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but we were looking at it differently. So 11th chapter. Is it the 10th? First verse? And the apostles? Wait, let me see. I want to make sure I'm in the right spot, y'all. I think I'm in the right spot. Verse 7, right? Okay. So let's go to let's go to verse 7. And I heard a voice saying unto me, verse 7. On a computer, it's verse 7. Oh, yeah, oh, you're right. Verse 6. Upon the which, do you see that? Let's do it. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Well, four-footed beasts, what was on that sheet? Chitterlings was on that sheet. Pigs, swine, it's on that sheet, right? Because there was a bunch of stuff on that sheet that we were supposed to be eating. Guess what was on that sheet? Pig's feet. Guess what's on the sheet? Ham. Ham was on the sheet. Oh, I didn't get nobody yet. Guess what was on the sheet? Bacon. Now I'm getting a reaction. Bacon was on the sheet. And so what did he say? And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Kepha, slay and eat. But Kepha said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what Yahweh hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And he had done this three times, because every time he was like, what is this saying? I believe he killed two birds with one stone in this verse, because he's saying, listen, now whatever was unclean before, because of grace, I'm going, all you got to do is have it sanctified. Just sanctify it. It's all right. You can eat it. But another thing this also showed about how they believed that the word and salvation was only for the Jews. But he was letting them know that no, it's not just for them. It's for everybody. So what I have cleansed, call not thou what? Unclean. That goes for people and this food. Well, Pastor Tom, how can you say it goes for the food too? Well, let me show you. Romans, the 14th chapter. Truth is wonderful. The truth will make you free. Who wants to be free today? Hallelujah. Truth will make you. So Romans, the 14th chapter, 14th verse. You got it? One of my favorite scriptures here. I know. Do you see that? I know and am persuaded by Yahushua that there is nothing unclean of itself. Huh. But who's talking here? Who's talking to Romans? The Apostle Shaul. And he said right here, I know and I am persuaded. When somebody says, I know and I am persuaded, what does that tell you? They're confident. So, because now this is under grace. We're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. So this is how we're looking at that food dietary. I know and I am persuaded by Yahushua that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean. So if you think it's unclean to you. It's not that the thing is unclean, it's that your thinking about the thing is unclean. Therefore, it's unclean to you. But it don't make it what? Unclean. And it says, to him it is unclean. 15. Tell you, before we read 15, say, I'm looking through the love glasses. Okay. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, and the New Testament says, if thy brother be grieved with thy food, what you're eating. If my brother is grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So what am I saying? I'm saying it doesn't mean that it's saying don't consume your food,
But if your brother is grieved about it and you continue to eat your food in front of your brother that's grieved about it, then you're not walking in love. So if you are offended by my chitterlings, if you're offended by that, right? Then if I'm walking in love, I'm going to put them away. I'm not going to eat them in front of you. But I'm going to have my chitterlings. Because I prayed on them things and they sanctified. And I told him to remove everything out. And he did that. And he made it fit for me to enjoy. So I'm going to take my chitterlings and I'm going to move them away. I'm not even going to see, because normally my flesh would have said, you got a problem with my chitterlings? Get to stepping. But what does love say? Love says, if you bother by my chitlins, I'm going to put my chitlins away because I love you. But when you leave, it's on and cracking. So I'm okay with my, so listen, if my brother or my sister is offended by my crab eating, I just won't eat my crab in front of you. I feel that you're missing out, but I don't want you to be grieved, okay? So it says, you're not walking in love if you do that. So destroy him not with thy meat. So don't destroy your brothers and sisters with your food, for whom Messiah died, right? It just means I need to put it away for a moment. But see, that's what's wrong with a lot of us. Some stuff we need to put away for a moment. That's why we overweight. We can't fit in our clothes and stuff because we can't put it down. We can't stop for a moment. Put that thing down. Put that donut down. Put the cookie down. 16th, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink. And that's what the New Testament said. The New Testament says, for the kingdom of Yahweh is not eating and drinking. So now that does away with all that. You can't eat all that stuff. You can't go to Red Lobster. That's done away with, hallelujah. But now it says, for the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink. It's not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. I see people like this. Hallelujah! Y'all like, I can eat what I want. Right? But maybe I might have a brother and sister that still, they struggle with stuff. Well, let's read this. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that hath these things serveth, for he that in these things serveth Messiah is acceptable to Yahweh and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after or pursue the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat or food destroyeth not the work of Yahweh. And the New King James Version says, for meat and drink do not destroy the work. The work of Yahweh is not destroyed for food's sake. So don't get in bondage by what you eat, y'all. Just put it on the side. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for that man who eateth with offense. 21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother, okay, what does this mean? Well, listen, if you have your glass of Moscato and your brother and your sister is weak, you know that you can handle your Moscato. Because you'll tell me what the Bible says, Pastor Tom, that it's not a sin to drink, it's just a sin to be drunk. Well, if you know you can only have one glass, evidently, you tested it and you, after the third or fourth one, last time you got drunk, and I guess you're repentant, and you know you can only handle one. But what if you got your glass, and what about the baby believer who just feels like they just can't, they don't want to do that? Or what about the believer that's been delivered from alcohol and don't want that taste in their mouth no more because they don't see what it do? If you're with them, take your Moscato and let it go. Because you are so loving to your brother and sister, you don't want to do anything that's going to make them stumble or fall. That's love. But see, the other thing would be like, I'm going to drink it. I don't care who's around. But that means we're not operating in what? Love. And then it goes back to the beginning scripture. If you are led by the Spirit, the Spirit not going to lead you to drink that Moscato in front of Deacon Jones. Somebody said, that's right. You want to be able to what? Rightly divide the word of truth. So thankful that Yahweh has given us a second chance through Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father Yahweh, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathway. Oh my goodness. So many things we find ourselves in, and if we had just been obedient, if we just studied.